Well, we're just going to just do some tag teaming this morning and see what the Lord does. And yeah, we just want to probably open up with a couple of testimonies if there's anyone who wants to. Now, I just for the record, it's not an opportunity for you to preach or anything like that. And I'll hold the microphone. But there was a young lady who came up to me yesterday who had last time we were here that got had a word, prophetic word, and was delivered. And ever since, she's not. Oh, she doesn't come here. Okay. Well, anyway, that was pretty good. Anyway, but is there anybody here like to testify about anything that's happened specifically on the weekend or over the conference? Oh, yes, here we go.
I just want to say that yesterday when Brother here was sharing about how he spent a lot of time speaking in tongues, God suddenly opened my eyes to see that something that happened in my life 50 years ago when I was at Bible school was the key to why at that time and ever since I had lost that personal prayer relationship with Jesus. Not that I don't pray, but that I hadn't been able to have that personal communion with Jesus that had been so important to me before I went to Bible school. And I had always thought that it was the things at Bible school and the lack of privacy and things like that that had been the key to it. But yesterday I understood that the key to my loss was the fact that I had been locked up in terms of speaking in tongues, that I wasn't allowed to speak in tongues. And so that freedom that God gave me when I spoke in tongues, I could only speak in tongues in the presence of other people who were also speaking in tongues, or in a situation where there was no possibility of anybody overhearing me, like when I was driving in my car. And that had been locked up inside me. And I saw yesterday that this is the key. And when I go home, I'm going to spend a lot of time. Amen. And God is going to unlock all of that and bring back the treasure that I lost, Amen. That communion with Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I have some teaching on tongues. I didn't go too much into it last night, but there is different types of tongues, different manifestations of tongues. But you know, self-edification is very powerful. When you pray in the spirit, you can choose when to do it, when to start and stop. There's also different types of tongues, signs for unbelievers where it comes upon you. You speak in another language that you're not aware of, and there's intercession and there's public assembly tongues. But when you can do it yourself, you can do it anywhere. It builds you up in your most holy faith, it says in the book of Jude. And it also brings the will of God, it says in Romans, into manifestation. So, you know, I really was blessed to hear that. And, you know, it's time for the Pentecostal church to get back to being Pentecostal. Amen? Yeah. So is there any other testimonies here, just short, like as short as what we just heard? Do you want to come up? Do you want to just come? I'll come to you. It's all right.
Just quickly that when Adam and Adrian were praying for me yesterday, you said about my great-granddaughter, and they're all in America. And I just want to share that had been on my heart, that I was praying that a little child shall lead them. She's 4 months old, and so what you spoke was powerful over that family in America. Just wanted to encourage you.
Thank you. Praise God. That's good to get good confirmation. And, you know, as we've been teaching that we prophesy in part, but when a word of knowledge gets released or a revelation of a dream, you know, there's got to be some substance out of it. And we do get a lot of testimonies come back even years later that out of the word, the prophetic word that gets released. Do you want to do one more, Adrian? Do you want to do one? Oh, do you want to walk up and hand the mic to somebody? I don't want to be the, you know, the.
Oh yeah, is there someone
Jerry
else that,
Springer
that,
or anything like that?
Is there someone else that wants to share a testimony here from the weekend?
Sorry,
I thought you wanted me to.
Is anyone?
Juggle or something,
anyone?
You know?
Anyone else? There's another one over there.
That's
I see
all right.
That.
It's okay.
Okay, we're moving right along. I believe there is one more. Someone's a bit nervous to put their hand up. There you go,
ma'am.
just want to thank and bless you guys, but I just feel so much freer. And I feel like I'm flying like an eagle.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's what we want.
Yours was the bear coat, wasn't it? The bear coat.
The bear coat, that's right. Those who don't know what we're talking about, she had a dream of wearing a bear fur, was it? Yeah. Which was good. It means a bear is a territorial spirit in this, on the context of her dream. And the fact that she's wearing this fur means that she's taken over, the enemy's tried to take in taken territory of the believers, and that she's actually gone back in the spirit and dismantled the enemy, and this, wearing the actual fur is a sign of skinning the enemy alive, and as a, it's a sign of that you've actually taken the territory back. Amen.
So this morning, I wonder whether we could have those sounds on. We'd like to call upon the Holy Spirit. You know, when Jesus was with the disciples on the Emmaus Road, as they were, they didn't recognize him, you know the story, and they recognized him through communion, which is quite appropriate. But it says a really remarkable thing. It says it there both in Mark 6 when he's walking on the water, and it also says it there when he's walking with the two disciples. It says that he went to walk on. He wasn't going to go in until they invited him in, post-resurrection. And I believe the reason that he does that is to show us that the Holy Spirit is sensitive. Post-resurrection, Jesus comes alos, as another exactly like Jesus, yet he is very sensitive. And we can really bypass him in our own humanity, in our own will, and our own strength, and he waits for an invitation. So we that's why we spend time here watering the well, allowing the Holy Spirit to come and to bubble up, and we say, come, Holy Spirit. Let us not just launch out in our gifts in the natural. Let us not launch out in ourselves, but let's launch out with you in the boat so that we arrive at our desired haven. Amen? So, Father, we just thank you right now, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, into this place. Come, Holy Spirit. If the cry of every heart in this place is come, Holy Spirit. Come and brood. Come and settle over us. Come and settle over us corporately, but come and settle in us individually as well. Let the peace of God, let the presence of God overwhelm us in this place. So come, Holy Spirit. Come.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm just taking my shoes off. Father, we just thank you for your presence here right now. We thank you for the angelic realm. We thank you that you're releasing the spirit of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus. We thank you for, Lord, the revelatory angel, the same type of angel you sent John the Apostle. Lord, the angel that releases the insight, and the same type of angel that, Lord, that came to Daniel 9, chapter 9, verse 22. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for that. There's a revelatory understanding that gets released, that brings insight, understanding. And we thank you, Lord, that the prophetic, this whole prophetic wave that's coming to the church, is coming back to the church, is the spirit of prophecy, but it's the testimony of Jesus. People don't realize, people diss the prophetic, and then people say, no, I'm not sure about that. They get scared. But the reality is, it's the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. So we come back to that, and we thank you, Lord, that you're here right now. We thank you for, Lord, there's a realm where the angelic realm is opened up. There's the same portal that Jacob saw. The same portal that was promised to Nathaniel, to all of us, you'll see angels. Angels ascending and ascending. Lord, we thank you that as we worship you, we line up with the gate. You are the gate. And we thank you, Father, for the rhythm of heaven. We thank you for the angelic realm. There's angels going into the eternal realm, bringing the revelation of Jesus into the natural Adamic realm. And we thank you, Father, for that rhythm. Lord, you move by the speed of light. You move beyond that. It's a timeless kingdom. But I thank you, Lord, you're allowing us to see when you slow it down. You're allowing us to see the kingdom. When you slow it down to this time, space, matter, realm right now, we thank you, Father. We thank you for revealing the keys of the kingdom. Lord Jesus, you're the breath of life in Genesis. Lord, you're the breath of life in Genesis. You're the Passover lamb in the book of Exodus. You're the great high priest in Leviticus. You're the pillar of fire by night, the glory cloud by day in the book of Numbers. You are the prophet like unto Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. Lord, we thank you that you are the fulfillment of the Torah. Rakia Masika. You're the fulfillment of the Torah right now. You are the word in flesh. Man cannot live on bread alone. Man cannot live on bread alone, but every word, Lord, that comes, that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we thank you, Lord. We just received you, Lord. Even with communion, we've taken you. We've consumed you into us, Lord. We thank you that you are in us. We received you today. Karika Masika.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I just had a vision of raisin toast. Someone had some raisin toast this morning. But what that means is the bread of life, but it brings revelation because the fruit is the actual grapes, but it's mature. It's matured, and it's like a matured fruit that's within the bread. And I just see that, I know probably a few of you might have, and it's a common thing, but someone in particular, there's a gentleman who had a raisin toast this morning. Has anyone here has had raisin toast? I saw a vision of a man eating raisin toast. Is anyone here? I mean, don't come up to me afterwards because I'm not going to pray for you afterwards when the meeting's finished. I just saw, it might have been a lady, but I just saw a back of a head of somebody and I saw raisin toast. Has anyone here had raisin toast this morning? Is that common in New Zealand? Maybe not. Anyone? Anyone? Okay, thank you, sir. Do you want to come up? It took a bit of time, but God's so good. Is that why he took time putting his hand up? Come up the front.
He just popped up.
He sort of went, I'm not supposed to, but come closer, sir. If we can have a catcher. Because the power of God's so strong here, he's just receiving an impartation because there's the word in him, like the seed, but the seed's going to be watered with the Spirit of God. And I'm seeing sort of a greater level of revelation coming out of him. That's actually, the revelations is for more of the, I see that there's intercession for his family, and I'm seeing that the seed, which is the Logos, becoming Rhema. And as you were eating the raisin toast this morning, I saw a vision of the back of your head and you're eating it and you're consuming it. But that's also a metaphor. Even though you're eating this morning, the Lord knew he's with you. But I see that as you're eating that, that's a sign. Oh, my goodness. There's a sign of you actually getting such strong revelation, having encounters with Jesus in these days where you're actually, God's saying to you, I've got it covered. Your family, you and your whole household will be saved. And we decree that over the family. And we release that in Jesus' name. The power of God is so strong over this man. And we thank you, Lord, you're releasing the glory. And we break also the curse of infirmity off the family as well. Whew. Whew. Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for the glory over his heart as well. Lord, the glory. There it is. We prophesy that, Lord, there's supernatural, Lord, there's a supernatural surge of revelation that's released to him. And God was saying to him, I haven't forgotten you. You're my man, the Lord is saying. We thank you, Lord. Release it right now. Lord, we just thank you that you're breathing over him. Lord, you're breathing life. You're the breath of life. In Jesus' name.
Also, if you were to interpret that as a supernatural phenomena, sometimes God has a play on words beneath the surface of what we read in English. And raisin is a rising, isn't it? Like raising toast, all right? And you put toast into a toaster and then suddenly it pops up, it resurrects, doesn't it? And so what God is also saying here is there's resurrecting hope in this gentleman as well. I lost the moment there, sorry. God is resurrecting hope in you, sir. All right, resurrecting hope in you, sir. New hope, and you're popping back up. All right, you're raising.
You're popping back up. I love that. And also, you have authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, and that's what the Lord wants to show to you. That you have the authority over what's going on in the family. And God's saying to you, "I'm with you." Luke 10 verse 19. You can. I like my version. I say we have authority to tap dance on Satan's head. In fact, I like that. It's one of my scriptures, but I love it that much. I made shoes out of snake skin. That's a sign that we have authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. So that's where the enemy is under my feet. So we release that right now over this man. There's an impartation of victory, and the authority of Jesus is giving him such confidence to smash the plans of hell and decree life over his whole family. And the Lord will say to you, not one seed is going to fall to the ground. Not one family member. You need to trust that. Not one family member is going to be lost. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. Hallelujah. Oh, I've never given her a word about raisin toast ever.
Not that I can remember.
No.
Wasn't it peanut butter on toast the other day?
And, no. There was baked beans, I think, once. Yeah, interesting. Hallelujah. I've never really I don't eat raisin toast, do you?
My wife does.
Okay.
Yeah, my wife likes raisin toast.
Yeah.
Do you guys have Vegemite over here?
Yeah, well, cool, this.
Marmite, oh yeah.
Marmite. Nah, Vegemite's Australian. We're on the mainland now, come on. Hallelujah. Okay, so with the principles of dreams and visions, we're not going to go, some of you might think we sound like a broken record. We actually, there's a 10 to 15 seconds, or he says 20 seconds, time limit for the dream publicly. And the reason why we do that, we're not trying to fob you off or anything like that. We're apologizing in advance. We really want to try and keep the meeting to flow. And this is not our first rodeo. We've been doing this for years, and we've had meetings that have been disasters with really long dreams. And we don't want to mislead you. Even afterwards, when we're mentally winding down and we're exhausted, we don't want to mislead you, especially with major decisions making, with dreams. We don't want to mislead you. We want to be in the Holy Spirit. So today, just keep in mind, it needs to be short. If it's long, we'd be gracious, but we just can't do it publicly. And we want to protect the anointing. And if everybody can turn your phones off as well, too, because sometimes I'm in the zone. This is a great example of, I'll explain how we are, right? I know when you were a kid, you used to put a balloon on a vacuum cleaner, you reverse the vacuum cleaner, blows out air, and you actually got the balloons just sitting in midair in the wind shaft. Has anybody done that? Has anybody seen that? or that can happen. What happens is I'm in the spirit. We're like that. We're in the spirit, and something that can distract you or knock you off course. It's like hitting the balloon out of that wind shaft, and it goes. And that's what it's like being with me. I'm in the spirit. I'm in the zone. I'm seeing a lot, and the phone rings or something happens. It just can knock me out of the. And I just want to just make sure that the meaning flows, and it's for you guys, for God to bless you guys, and God gets the glory. All right, amen.
Amen. So who is there? We'll put some other parameters out there if we need to, but who is there that has a really nice, short, succinct dream? Sir, at the back there, you want to come up, sir? Yes.
We haven't done a dream with you before, have we? Oh, good, good.
Morning. Okay, so this dream, I had this dream a year ago. Yeah, I had this dream a year ago. So I'm in my friend's flat, and it was around about midnight. So I was sleeping, and then I dream that I can see there's two bodies. There's a different version of me that's looking at the other sleeping me, which is the one that's awake. Is actually there's something that's coming at the door, like a bad spirit that's coming at the door. And the one that's awake is actually just chasing out that bad spirit, and I was just praying and praying in tongues and chasing that out. And I just woke up, and when I woke up, I felt a knock on the door. Yeah.
So when you woke up, you said what you felt a knock at the door?
Yeah, there was a knock. There was literally a knock at the door, and which is basically in the dream, the one that was actually sleeping and the one that was standing was actually there's something that was going to come at the door. And I was actually chasing out that spirit towards the door, and then when I actually woke up, a knock came through at the door.
And did you let that spirit in? No. No, so he said he was staying at his friend's flat. There were two versions of him on the floor. One of them was awake and one was asleep. He was sensing that a bad spirit was going to come through the door, and the one that was awake, his spirit man, what you're seeing there is it your spirit man? You know, there's Jacob and Israel in every one of us. And so there's a spiritual us and there's the soulish us. All right, and so one of you is asleep to what's going on in the spirit, but the other one's well awake to it. And then you woke up, but then when you did wake up, this is the scene. You saw your spirit man praying that your soulish man wouldn't be overtaken by a spirit that was trying to come through the door, all right? And then when you woke up, there was a literal knock at the door, correct? All right. When we often think that the natural occurrence that follows a dream is coincidence, but it's God reminding you of the importance of the dream. And he's putting in a sense, he's putting a tag or a point in the ground, a peg, so that you can remember the dream. So he's giving you a peg to remember the dream. And he's reinforcing it by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now it could well be that in the natural, whoever came through that door, God could be warning you of a spiritual activity beyond the natural. But I think it's more likely that it's just God reminding you. Now, when you're in your friend's flat, now every one of us is a house. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, Paul writes, the Apostle Paul writes and says, if this tent or this tent or temple is destroyed, I have another one in heaven. He's talking about his body. Right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says Paul writes and says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit individually. All right, and so when you see a house or a flat or a place of residence, particularly you're inside that place, you are normally looking at inside of a person. All right, and so it's metaphoric. We're looking at symbolism, and God's depicting through a parable, through a life example, all right, something that's going on inside. And here what I see is that your natural you is asleep to something that's going on spiritual, and God's trying to wake you up for that for a year ago. All right, but so that was a year ago. Since that time or around about that time, can you recall something that was going on in the natural that perhaps you weren't picking up? And that as subsequently as you come away from it, you go, perhaps that was what God was showing me about.
I was in a bad state when I was actually having that dream itself, because I was unemployed. I didn't stay with my parents, that's why I was actually at my friend's place. And I was into drugs and all that stuff. So I was in a bad space around about that time.
He was unemployed. So I just want to make sure we said unemployed in what? You said something after that?
I wasn't with my parents. I wasn't actually staying with my parents at home. Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes a door can literally be an opportunity. A door can be a picture of your heart. And so when someone's knocking at the door, you know, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's God asking us to invite him into our hearts. Is that correct? You understand what I'm saying? And so it could also be that God was warning you not to invite certain things into your heart at that time. All right, while you're going through sleep or spiritual death. You know, sleep is as death also in Scripture. You know, Jesus goes, Lazarus is sleeping, when really he was dead. All right, and so it could well be that God's showing you, perhaps you're just spiritually switched off, and that there's a danger if you do just allow something to embrace. And there could have been at that time a desire to open your heart to more drugs or to some other thing, but it has a spirit behind it. All right, Adam?
Yeah, I just follow on from Adrian. I agree with what's going on, what Adrian's saying. But the good thing is, this is a really good outcome because you're in a season, you're going through a transition, that God's grace is over your life, right? You're a good man, you've got a good heart, but you've opened the door to some things, right? And now your friend you're staying with, is he a Christian? Okay. Is he still with him now?
There was this week in South Africa, actually. It was a while back, which is last year. Which is that's my friend's work in South Africa.
So what happens is a friend in South Africa who's not a Christian, it seems to be like, when did you have the dream, can I ask?
A year ago.
Was that when you were there?
Yeah.
Okay. So it means that's a wrong temple, right? See, it's your friend's house. Or you're staying with, and it means that you're in a wrong place. And a house can represent, or a flat can represent, the person's temple, right? It means that you're kind of yoked with him, right, in a way where that's actually allowing the demonic powers to attack you, all right? And you just got to be very careful what you meditate on as well. And then let me just say this: the grace of God's over your life. This is something you need to listen to: is you can't accidentally lose your salvation. Did you know that? You can't go, oh, my gosh, I'm in hell. How did I get here? You actually heard the gospel and reject it and harden your heart. That's why they end up in hell. They actually hear it. They reject it by hardening their heart. You haven't hardened your heart, right? Set the grace of God's over your life. But God wants us to fulfill the destiny, and God wants us to be intimate with him so our hearts can be right before him, because that's why it says in the scriptures, guard your heart. Because what happens if you can lose your salvation by throwing it away, not by him. God doesn't take it off you. He doesn't change his mind. It's a gift. If I'm a father, there's no way I'd take a gift off my child in my right frame of mind. But if I did like that, how much more would the Heavenly Father be like that? He would never take the gift of eternal life off you, but you can throw it away by hardening your heart. That's why you've got to guard your heart. Does that make sense? Right? So that's where you can be secure, saying, praise God, the grace is amazing. I'm not going to lose my salvation by just being a bad person, but for having a bad day. You know what I mean? But God just wants to just reassure you, when Jesus is knocking on the door, that's a sign for you to be more intimate with him. Because it says, as you quoted, Adrian quoted, behold, I stand at the door knocking. If you open the door, I'll come in and eat with you, commune with you. And you're coming through a process where I see, you know what I see over your life? Are you music minded? Because, sorry?
Yeah, I enjoy a lot of music, any different type of music.
Yeah, I do. What I see kind of an anointing over your life to entertain. I see there's an entertainment. Like when I say entertain, not in a bad way, but people would be drawn to you for evangelism. I see there's some gift over you to entertain, right? And not in a bad way, not saying the entertainment can be usually seen as bad, but in a way it can be good as a gift to draw people, to win him with the anointing, win people across the line. I see there's an evangelism anointing over your life, but it's to do with something with there's a transition God's bringing you through, or allowing you to go through. But when you come into that place of actually communing with him and you have that authority, God's going to actually draw the world to you in a way where you have authority not to be bowing in knee to the world. You're not of the world, but you're in it, and you actually win so many people to Christ. I see a harvest of souls coming to you through just the entertainment. Just somehow God's going to open the door where you're going to be involved with entertainment. And when it comes to arts, music, I see that over your life. And I want you to just keep that in your heart. But in the meantime, that's not happening now. You need to really come into that place to actually be intimate with the Lord, because he wants to completely transform your life. Because in that dream also, the enemy's trying to condemn you about some stuff that's happened. And you're free from that, and you're hidden in Christ. Amen? No one's going to find you, right? If you know what I'm talking about. All right? The ones who people are looking for, you're never going to find you. You understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense? I'm trying to be gracious here without spooking anybody, but you're actually protected. No one's going to – the ones who are looking for you are not going to find you. All right? And you can just chillax now, just as my daughter says, chillax, you know. Just – you know, you can just relax and just be rest in him now, and don't look to the past. Don't feel guilty about what, and you're completely protected by him. Now you can go forward. All right? We got some, because Jesus loves you and he wants you to know that. It's a confirmation, him, and it's all good. We love you, man. And you're protected, okay? In fact, oh my gosh, I see God's changing your name. I see that. There's a new name he's giving you. It's like from, you know, with like Saul to Paul, or Jacob to Israel. You said that. You're actually going to get a new name. You're covered. Fourth. That's a really, see, you got a golf clap there. That's good. Hallelujah. Put your hands out. And we're going to pray for you. All right? Reach your hands out there, brother. Do you want to?
There's another thing in that dream. Often God speaks the loudest when he doesn't say anything at all. All right? And in this dream, what I see there is you were previously in a flat. All right? Which is a place of, it's not a permanent place of residence normally. It's like it's a place of transition, but before you get your own place. All right, so God's giving you your own place, all right? As you hand your life over to him, he's going to restructure your temple, all right? So you're not just dwelling temporarily in this place, this soulish place, but now God's got a place to equip and to furnish. You know, it says, by wisdom a house is built, by understanding. How's it go? It's all the rooms are filled but with knowledge and so on, and by understanding it's established and so on. And so Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I think, from Emmy. Don't quote me, but I think it's like somewhere like that. Look that up, about God's building a house, all right? And so I believe that God is restructuring you spiritually to be the man he's called you to be, which Adam's giving us an insight into. Amen?
Oh, I'm also getting a vision too. Sorry. I don't mean to prolong this, but I've got to – God's actually also removing grief. And it's not your fault over somebody's death, right? Someone you know died, and
of the friend. It's the older brother of the friend that actually stayed in the flat.
And God's saying to you, he's removing that grief, and it's not your fault, right? And that's leaving you. And it is like the enemy's tried to torment you over that. You know what I'm talking about. I'm seeing a vision. The angel just stepped in here right now. It's the first time I experienced my angel this morning. And he's shown me that vision. And today you're going to be free from that as well. Okay? That's lifting. It's not your fault. It's demons have tried. Demons is the one who destroy people, not man. Okay? And you would just happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time when you're there. Okay? So God's saying to you, you're free. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, let's reach our hands out to our brother. And we just decree. You got another word, have you?
No, I was wrong with the scripture. It's Proverbs 4, verses 5 and 6.
Yeah, good. So, Father, we just thank you for the glory over this man. I love his heart. We thank you for the presence of God. And we decree in the name of Jesus that, Lord, that spirit that's trying to torment him, that spirit that's trying to blame him through the death that was close to him, the friend that was close to him that died, we break that curse off, that accusation. We break it off him right now. And we thank you, Lord, that he's free. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that he's completely transforming into a new temple. And that's the temple of Christ is forming around you. It's starting to manifest in you. And the fullness of the deity, the Godhead, dwells within you. And we thank you, Lord, that Colossians 2, 9 and 10 is manifesting inside of this man. And we thank you for giving him the anointing to also, you're giving him some revelation from heaven, downloads, to be able to go forward in his destiny, an evangelist with entertainment. Lord, we thank you giving that anointing to draw people. I just see, Lord, I just see there's poems God's giving you. You used to write poems? I'm seeing the vision now of poems, all right? There's an anointing here right now. And you know what? The thing is with the poems, I'm seeing a vision. Sorry, Adrian. I just see a vision of these poems that you're writing down, right, and God's given to you. But you know what? That's going to be transformed into song. It's like, in fact, it's actually kind of, it's probably the wrong word because I'm from a different generation, but it kind of sounds like a bit of a rap stuff, you know, if you know what I'm talking about. Does that make sense? So I'm seeing it in a vision. I'm seeing the angel showing me the poems you're writing and the entertainment that's coming into it. You're actually bringing your poems into a song, and it's kind of like a rap song, but it's probably a different word. I don't know what would you call it, but it sounds similar to that. It pretty much is. Does that make sense? Have we met before? Do you believe that's the Holy Spirit? Yeah. And also what happened to your friend, the death, and you're not blamed for that anymore, okay? So we're going to pray again because I just got visions and sometimes the angels can sort of stop me with different visions. So
Father, we thank you for this house, Lord, and Father, right now, by faith, I breathe upon the fire and the fireplace. Lord, let that fire flare up right now within his heart in Jesus' name.
Lord, we just thank you for the counsel of heavens over him. And God's giving him a new name. So God's changing you. You know, Paul said, when I was Saul, I was the chief of sinners. And God's saying to you that everything's wiped out. The grace of God's over your life and you're a new man in Christ. And we release this right now. In fact, it's like you being dead, but God's going to do something. He's going to kickstart you right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus, release it. Right now, Father, we release it. In the name of Jesus, right now. Lord, release the power of this man. He's coming alive, and the glory has been released. Oh, there it is. He's got it. You need to get excited because the glory is all over you. Your life is transformed and changed. And Lord, we decree, that's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. You're in the wind shaft right now. That's it. That's it. Yeah. There's glory. 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 Ah, he's a sign and a wonder. A sign and a wonder. Oh, Karakima Sika. Jesus. Yeah, take it. Take it. Hallelujah. Oh, Rakima Sika. Oh, he's never the same again. Never the same again. Four. Whoa, man, that was wild. He's still got it in him. It's never going to leave you from now on. You receive that, sir? How you feeling? It's better than a holiday in Hawaii. Bless you. I want to, next time we'll come back, we'll hear a good report. I'm going to hear, we're going to see more of you, all right? Hallelujah.
Who else has a nice short dream? Sorry, where?
Who was here on the weekend that missed out?
What about this gentleman
didn't get a
here?
Dream interpretation?
Do you want to come up here, sir?
I was in my parents' house, and it was dark, and there was a woman and a man, and I looked down at my feet, and there was a sack, and I picked up the sack, and out dropped an animal half dead, and the man says, "Take it outside and let it die," and then I took it into the back of the house, and I put it down on the ground and on the floor, and I opened the door, and the door brushed it, and the animal fell to pieces. And I broke down in the dream and cried, and I said, "God, restore this animal." And before my eyes, it was like the valley of the dry bones. It came back together with like sinews and bones and fur and hair. And then it looked up at me alive and bright and happy, and its eyes were sparkling. It was beautiful.
Oh, that's a really good outcome.
That is a good dream. That is a very
good
dream.
It's a good dream, yeah.
Now, Adam and I would, I think I believe I understand what's going on here, but I want to ask some questions so that you can see the process here. When did you have that dream?
It was about 2004.
Around about 15 years ago, 2004. Where were you at spiritually in 2004?
I was in a great place.
So you weren't in a good place, all right? So I believe that God's given you a dream. Now, let's just repeat the dream. What you said was that you were in your parents' place. It was the scene was dark. Like the lights weren't on. At your feet was a sack. You sort of felt the sack and then realized it was there. You pulled it up, and inside of it was an animal, all right? A dead dog, half dead. And you took it out the door, but you said out the back door. All right, and you said that the door brushed against the sack, and then did that cause the animal to come out broken and sort of?
It fell apart as the door brushed it.
Right. So it fell apart by the brush of the door. All right, and then at that stage, you in your heart you said, "God, would you fix this animal?" All right, and you cried for it. All right. And then, like the Valley of the Dry Bones in Ezekiel, it came together and came back to life. Is that correct? All right. And at that time, you were in a dark place as well. All right. So God actually is resurrecting you. That's you. All right. Now, what shape is a sack? It's a concave vessel. All right. That's a state of your heart. When you're in a house and it's dark, it means the lights aren't on.
Really? Wow.
That's simple, but it's profound. It either means you're in the dark or Christ is not there. Does that make sense? And if you were to go out the front door, that's your future. But if you go out the back door, that's your past.
So it was the back door, was it?
Yes. And so what it's saying is in the past, all right, things have taken place. All right, and as that, well, a dog is, a dog can be man's best friend. A dog can be a person who runs on appetite. You just, treats and dogs will do whatever you want them to do. But dogs can also be unbelievers, all right? And because, even the dogs eat the breads that fall from the master's table. And so there are many ways of interpreting that, but in a way it's not a believer, it's not a full human being, all right? And this creature or this dog is in part broken up, all right? And I believe that there's a cry of your heart at that time is, "Oh, God, make something from my life. It's a mess, all right? And my past has wrecked me, all right?" And God's revealed to you the state of what's going on in that sack. That's you, All right? But the cry of your spirit man who's seeing this is going, God, do something with this. And as a consequence, you're here right now. Now, if you do get a dream like that, and if you get that, you, like Adam said, the end result is the thing that you focus on because it's positive. God's resurrecting and making something out of something that was nothing. It was a bag of bones. Like all of us, we were a bag of bones until Christ came and knit us together. Is that right? All right, and so that's what you focus on, and you go, thank you, God, for what you've done. And so what God's done is breathed into you the heart desire, and then he's saying, what do you want me to do with that bag of bones? And you're saying, make it again. Make it into what you want it to do. Now, the fact that it's in your parents' house, sometimes that could be a picture of God, because ultimately God is father, you know, mother, brother, sister, friend, and so on. But it could well be that from the past, in your growing up, damage was done, all right, to cause you to be like that, all right, to be broken, that person, all right. But God now is your father, all right. Holy Spirit, if you like, you know, with a little bit of liberty, is your mother, the nurturing side of God, okay. And so God is resurrecting your life, sir, all right, and has resurrected your life for you to be here today. I would think that if you were in a dark place at that time, amen. Adam?
Yeah, that's good, Adrian. I concur with that. It's the Holy Spirit definitely releasing that over you. And the good thing is the ending of the dream that you've actually been restored. But there's still some things God wants to do, right? The back door, it's obviously there's been the past, there's been a door that's open. See, there's so many doors in the spirit realm, okay? Jesus is the door, it says in John 10. And anybody else tries to come through another way is a thief into the sheep pen. But also, there's so many doors. You can open up wrong doors by wrong meditations, by watching things like horror movies or drugs. Trauma can also open the wrong door and allow the enemy to attack us. And we can still be saved with the grace of God over our lives, but we can also have doors that are opened up where the enemy can torment us. We're not possessed, but the enemy can, it gives legal right by the way we think. Sometimes with the way we think can give permissions to certain darkness. And that's why it's very important in Romans 12 to renew our mind and have our mind be in streamlined with the revelation of the Messiah and the mind of Christ so that we can be free, and everything that's trying to torment us will just dissolve away like wax before us and just have no hold over us. So God wants to bring, he wants to rewire your mind today, right? Now, can I ask some questions? The dog, was it a pet or just any dog?
It's just any dog.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that because just what Adrian's saying, it is you, but there can be layers to it as well. Now, I see when Adrian's talking, there's some things that torment you in the past, that some things, we all have these things we've done in the past and regret. I mean, I confess this, when I was a very wealthy man. My limo driver, I used to, and this is a true story, I'm not making this up, I used to be really hard on him, and I'm trying to find him so I can apologize. You know, sometimes some things, I know God's forgiven me, but sometimes it sort of haunts you and the enemy can bring it up, and I'd shut it down, but I was just trying to find him so I can just love on him and just apologize because I wasn't with the Lord back then, you know, and sometimes you just want to just at least bring reconciliation so that man can feel the love of God and experience something, you know what I mean? And but there's some things that happen where God wants you to know that it's all covered, but there's going to be a time of reconciliation with some people. Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense. There's going to be some reconciliation down the track where there's going to be peace and there's going to be a forgiveness, all right? And God wants to confirm that with you with the past because some people are going to come back, you think that there's never going to be reconciliation, but God's going to bring a reunion and reconciliation, and it's going to be like closure, all right? So we're just going to pray for you. If you come over here, stand here for a minute, and if we can have a catcher to help us because, yeah, there's an anointing over you. You need to realize there's actually anointing on you. And God wants to kickstart and ignite your destiny. All right? Because I see, once you start to see who you are in the reflection, the reflection of Christ, you start to see Christ in yourself, then you're going to have authority to be able to fulfill your destiny. I'm seeing people coming into the kingdom, and I'm seeing there's God's escalating finance for you to actually have the ability to sow, because you're very generous. And God's showing me in the spirit that when you actually do get something, you're actually very generous, and God wants you to know that you're actually, the more he gives you, the more you're going to give. When he gives to you, you're going to give, and it's going to get bigger and bigger. Because I see such an anointing over you, and God's going to bless what you're doing in the business, right? He knows that your heart's in the right place. So, Adrian, do you want to kick it off with a prayer?
So, Father, according to the dream, Lord, and we thank you for resurrection in our brother. We thank you, Lord, that you've taken him from being just a bag of bones to being a man of stature standing here before us. Lord, we just thank you that you have, you've worked, as it were, and created in him. You've barrowed in him. Father, I thank you for what you've done, Lord, in my brother. Lord, I thank you that the past is the past, and that you cover that which is covered. Lord, that your blood covers, Lord, and cleanses. Lord, and I thank you for resurrection in my brother's life. I thank you, Lord, that the cry of his heart was for that animal, and he has a compassion about him for God's, your creation. And Father, I thank you for that and his compassion for others. Lord, Lord, I bless him according to the dream. I thank you for resurrection. I thank you that he's moving on from the past. And I thank you, Lord, that whatever took place in the family home, Lord, he's moved on. He's moving on from that, Lord, and he's become the new person. And Father, if I were looking at that dream myself, I'd thank you, Lord, that the lights have been switched on in that home, Lord, and that there's a new day and there's a front door to step out into some sunshine, Lord, and I thank you for that in Jesus' name.
I'm just going to anoint your head with oil. I just walked around the place trying to find oil. There's one over there. And this is from Israel, right? The reason why I want to anoint your head, the Lord showed me that in a vision. So that God's renewing, he's rewiring your mind. When we're born into this world as babies, our minds are pure. That's why Jesus said the children belong to the kingdom, because their minds, they actually come from that place. But then in time, the deception, the darkness of this world, it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, that the God of this world blinds the mind of the gospel and the revelation of Christ, who is the image of God. And in time, our mind seems to be out of whack, you know, as we grow up in our childhood and become into teenagers. The enemy tries to mess up our mind paths, and there's so much. There's so much muddy waters in this world, but God wants, he's going to bring this man back into the original place where he come from, where his mind is completely streamlined into the revelation of Jesus Christ and his destiny, and Jesus knew him. And, you know, I had a friend of mine who spends a lot of time with the Lord, and he said, you know, and the Lord spoke to me, he said, I don't know you, and I want to know more of you. And he said, I thought I did. And he goes, no, before you came to planet Earth, we were good friends. So God wants to I just want to do this today, because God wants to streamline the pathways in your mind into the revelation of Jesus Christ, because he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. It says that in Jeremiah. The Lord said that to Jeremiah. And I just release that right now of this man, that his mind is coming in the divine order. He's free. There's no... Lord, in the name of Jesus, he's free through the power of the cross. And we decree life, not death. And I thank you, Lord, that you're bringing back the blessings over his life. There's no guilt. There's no condemnation. I thank you there's reconciliation. And I thank you, Lord, you're releasing the glory over this man with his what he does, Lord, the finance. There it is. The glory is coming upon you. It's a weight right now. Here it is. Whew. Karika masika. Sukara masika. It's all over you right now. I'm not pushing him. My hand's gently just touching him, but the glory's been released right now. Rakia masika. He's getting set free right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Whew. 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 There's an angel standing where that gentleman is. Can you stand up, sir?
Which one?
Yeah, you. Can you just stand there where you are? Because God wants to also bring divine order to your body and your heart. God's releasing it. Divine order over your heart. The angel's standing there, and he wants to heal you right now. He wants to bring divine order right now. We thank you that his body's been restored. And, Lord, we thank you that he's a man of God and he's hungry. He's hungry. God's responding to your hunger, sir. He responds to your hunger. Don't worry about what you may know or may not know. God wants hunger, and the rest will come in line. But also he wants to, over the top, he wants to extend, he wants to bring a long life, because there's so much promises God's given you. And we release that his heart is restored right now, the rhythm of his heart. We thank you, Father. We just release the fire, and we release it right now. The glory right now. Glory right now. Oh, there's strong anointing over this man. And I just decree that as I saw the angel there, it's a healing angel, like the same type of angel, the pool of Bethesda, the stirring of the waters around him right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This man's still getting the impartation here right now. It's just coming upon him. And as he's receiving this, his portals are opening up. Jesus is the door, but angels as paratroopers hitting the room right now in the name of Jesus. And we just decree it right now. He's getting delivered from accusations right now. And Lord, we just thank you for the man over here. Back to the man with a heart. We thank you, Father. The glory is strong. For Rakia Masika. The glory is strong, and we declare and we decree divine order. We decree a good report brought by faith. We decree that in Jesus' name. And Adrian and I are not saying you're healed. Jesus already said so 2,000 years ago. He breathed his last breath. It is finished. This curse is finished right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Well, I'd also see there's reconciliation with his brothers for this man here.
I noticed the lady at the back there had your hand up, right down the back, your back against the wall. That sounds funny, but, you know, do you want to come to the front? You can stay there as long as you like, sir. Hallelujah. In fact, bring him up again. Sorry, doing a Benny Hinn. Bring him up again. Bring him up again. Come up again. Oh, it's a release impartation. Everything that we have, I just feel. Were you here yesterday? Okay. You weren't here Saturday, so that's why we're going to do impartation right now. Lord, release it right now in the name of Jesus. Everything we have.
Amen. Lord, release it right now in the name of Jesus. Spirit of wisdom and revelation, Father, I just release it over my brother.
Right now, release it. And I'd release the spirit of prophecy right now. The spirit of prophecy. Fire right now. Bam! Spirit of Elijah right now. Fire right now. It's all over him. High five. Bam! Oh, he's a great... Actually, I just had a vision that you're a groundbreaker. You're breaking the ground. It's good to laugh. God's a funny God. He sits in the heavenlies and laughs. don't know if I shared this. I don't know if I shared this. I had an African American angel type of. He looked like an African American, but he wasn't. But he came up to me, and he's a big, deep voice, and he came up to me, put his arm around, and he said, "You know, the Father thinks you're hilarious." He said, and I said to him, "At least I got one fan." And he went, and he actually led me into the presence of the Father. It's just incredible. Come over here. Whew. The presence of God. Who's sensing the presence of God right now? When you're getting the pins and needles in your head? I'm getting that. Or is that, do I need to see a doctor? My left arm. No. Sorry, I'm quirky. Excuse me. Aren't we all?
I had a dream. I drove to the beach in a red sports car. It was a convertible. I pulled up at the ocean beach. There was a king tide. I didn't know what a king tide was, but in the dream it said, "This is a king tide." I got out of the car with my hand still on the door handle. I thought, where am I going to leave the car? The tide's coming in further. And so as I touched the driver's seat, the driver's door, the car folded into a suitcase and it had a handle.
That's great. That is great.
So I walked along the top of the beach carrying my bright red car.
Anything's possible nowadays.
So that's the main dream. I met this young guy about the age of my son called Joshua. He was a worship leader that I knew.
In the dream as well?
Yeah.
So you met a worship leader called Joshua. You got into a sports car, a convertible. What colour was the convertible?
Bright red.
Bright red, that's what I thought you said. Everybody knows red cars go faster.
They're very shiny. Very shiny, very sparkly and twinkly.
Convertible. All right, and then you drove to the beach and you knew when you got there was a king tide. Specifically, yeah. You didn't know what a king tide was in the natural, but they told you that it was a king tide, all right? And then as you stood there, the tide was coming in and you needed to move your car. You felt like you got to move the car.
Mm.
And then you touched the driver's side door and it just folded. It converted. It was a convertible.
Like Transformers.
It transformed into a suitcase.
Yeah.
All right, and then where was Joshua then? He was there after that.
So what were you doing? You walked off with it, Lion?
I walked across the top of the beach. The ocean was like this coming in. And
you saw Joshua?
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good.
That's really
I don't know what you do, but, you know, it's in terms of ministry, but there's travel in this. That's the suitcase.
Oh.
All right, and so, and your ministry, Now, if you go to the beach, normally the beach can be the interface between heaven and earth because, you know, it's another medium. The sea can be another medium. Sometimes the beach can be the place where people are stepping into the world because it could be the sea of humanity. But in this dream, because it's a king tide, that tells us that Jesus is involved. He's the king, ultimately, right?
It's a revival.
And, yeah, and there's something coming, and it's a sports car doesn't have any roof. A convertible doesn't have any roof. And it's also convertible. It means it can adapt. It can adapt, all right? And so it's talking about you. The car is a picture of you and your ministry, all right? You know, everybody knows a red car goes faster. All right? So it's talking about it's a distinct ministry, as it were, and it's open to heaven, all right? So it's hearing from God, all right? And the wind of the Spirit can freely go through your hair and your anointing, all right? That's what is depicted on all those sort of scenes. And so I see that God, there is a wave of revival coming, all right? And that your ministry is going to be taken overseas. That's the suitcase. And Joshua, of course, is Jesus.
Mm.
Amen?
Yeah.
All right, Joshua, Yeshua. Mm. All right, and so I see that you're traveling with him. All right, in a place of worship. I don't know whether you're a worshiper, but I see you as something prophetic because of the open roof, and I see that you've got a prophetic ministry, but it's also glamorous or something like that. It's a well presented ministry because of the shininess of the car and the red car. Powerful, powerful.
Just to follow on from Adrian, there's kind of a you're very influential. And when I say that, it's more for, I see that you clothe people, right? You're actually, that's what you do, right? Because I saw a vision of that, why Adrian's talking, but then the Lord showed me, as the angel came and showed me that you're clothing people, it's like you're making them look good, right, in the natural. But the Lord showed me in Joshua chapter 3, he was snatched from the fire like a twig, and he was given a new garment. Sorry, Zach, what did I say? Sorry, excuse me. Zechariah chapter 3. There's no book of Joshua. Maybe there is. No. Yeah, there is. Sorry. What would I know? No. Yeah. Well, there's a book of Joshua, but that Zechariah chapter 3. There's Joshua being snatched from the fly like a twig, right? And he's been given a new garment and a turban, right? And basically, what happens is there's no condemnation, but there's a whole transformation with your life. And you actually somehow with your journey you've been in, right? You're quite a successful lady, right? And what's happened is that it's like you've packed it up. But you're carrying still that gift you have, like when Joseph had the gift of business, right? He had the gift inside of him, but it flourished somewhere else in the arena before Pharaoh, okay? So what I'm trying to say is that you have a gift in the natural, right? You clothe people, and I see that there's a time coming of revival. There's a transition happening where you're going to change and go into some form of ministry prophetically, right? But then in the spirit, you're going to clothe people with Jesus. It says in Romans 13 that it says, clothe yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And put on the armor of light. And I see that you have that gift to do that, but that's going to happen when there's going to be such a move of God coming to this nation, right? And I say that, I know people will say that generally, yeah, we've all heard this before, but the Jezebel spirit, and this is something we're going to do after this dream interpretation, is smash the Jezebel spirit over this nation, because there's a Jezebel spirit over this nation, and you are going to bring the real, true influence of what a woman of God can bring to a nation. I see that, okay? And what happens is that this King Tide is revival, but you have a gift. You have a gift to clothe people and restore them spiritually. Okay? Yeah. Well, I really believe that's going to be activated today in another level. All right? So just put your hands out and reach your hands out to our sister. I see that you're going to restore people. I'm seeing that. You're a counselor, you just told me. I see that you're actually clothing people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I see also you have a business mind. I don't know why I get that. I see God's giving you these strategies to bring divine order over churches and over, I just see, when I say churches, but it's just when people are struggling and they're in a bad place, I just see you're bringing a strategy to break curses and to bring, it's like a spiritual mapping. I just release that right now in Jesus' name. And also, I prophesy that your stomach's coming in divine order. We thank you for healing. Lord, I thank you that any infection when she eats, Lord, that's coming off right now, we just prophesy that divine order is coming through her body and we release the power of Jesus. Oh, Lord, release it right now. Thank you for clothing her.
And so, Father, I also thank you that when she touches the driver's side door, the driver's side door is her heart, and that's Jesus, the door, all right, opening, Father, and that you're making the change. You're making the opportunity to travel with this ministry. And the, as Adam's saying here, you clothe others like an Elijah clothed Elisha. You're going to teach other people the ability to understand and to paint in the Spirit. We just thank you for that right now in Jesus' name.
I'm seeing a young lady. You have a daughter? Okay, you have a daughter-in-law. Is she blonde? All right, okay, because I'm seeing a vision of her. Yeah. And I want to pray that the light is turning on. And I pray that that the cynicalism is coming off and she's getting set free. That religious spirit from the past that's actually, it's called spiritual abuse, is coming off. And I just see a vision of her, and I prophesy that that's there's revival coming upon her. That's going to be like a domino effect through your family, through your son, and also we just thank you for the offspring situation, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. You're bringing divine order in that area, and Lord, we decree this in Jesus' name. We prophesy revival. That King Titus hitting your daughter-in-law. We release that right now over the family in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Whew. Whew. Hallelujah. I just think if everybody could stand up for a moment, we're going to pray. I just want to just pray in the Spirit. We're going to prophesy over this nation because there's actually there's a spirit of Jezebel that's trying to shut down. Shut down the promises of God, but it's going to fail because the enemy always fails. And we just at the moment, it might seem that it's in authority and might seem that it has power, but we're just going to agree with heaven. Amen? All right? Now, I want to say that sometimes I get mental blocks and sometimes I get my meds mixed up. but we're just going to agree and see, we can just open our mouths. And we can decree, and we're going to smash this thing. And Adrian's going to kick it off too, if you want to do that. We're going to shut down this spirit because it's over the parliament. There's a Jezebel spirit over parliament. And what happens with Jezebel, it tries to align itself up with other gods and to destroy a nation. All right.
So, Father, as the church in New Zealand here together corporately, Father, we shine and reflect your glory into New Zealand, that it would become a land of new zeal.
Yes.
And so, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would increase the radiation into this place. Father, we thank you right now. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that as Adam's saying, that there is a Jezebel spirit over this nation. And, Father, we ask, Lord, that you would purge that Jezebel spirit from this land and that you bring New Zealand back to you. Lord, that you would wake up the body of Christ to be united, to pray. And as we humble ourselves and pray, that you would heal our land, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, according to your word in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, Father, heal this land.
Yes, Lord, we thank you right now, and we decree this. This is real. We prophesy fire from heaven right now. The fire from heaven will not destroy man, but it will bind up the spirit, will shut down the spirit, will drive out the spirit in this land of Jezebel. And we come against that spirit, even that spirit, that fornicating spirit that's over parliament right now. We break it down, and we prophesy that Jezebel spirit that tries to dilute the word of God and tries to line itself up with idolatry, tries to line itself up with other gods. We shut it down in the name of Jesus. We break his back right now. We prophesy in the name of Jesus, the fires licking up the stones, the wood, the stubble right now. In the name of Jesus, release your fire, the pillar of fire by night, the glory cloud by day. Lord Jesus, reveal yourself in this nation right now. Reveal yourself yourself in this great nation. Lord, we just thank you, the walls, the barriers right now, as it says in the book of Joshua, that the walls of Jericho have fallen. So we give the Lord a great shout at the count of three. You ready? One, two, three. Whoa! Jesus!
Worthy.
You get the glory. A new zeal over this nation. Yeah, come on. Come on. A new zeal. Oh. Hallelujah.
Father, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow to a false god, Father, we just declare that the Christians in this nation shall not bow to Baal, a false god in this nation. And Father, we thank you that you are the fourth man in the fire, Lord, and that the rulership and the leadership over this nation will recognize you as the true God. Hallelujah.
And we decree dreams, visions, the understanding of the language of heaven is released here this morning. And Lord, even over the Muslims, Lord, you speak to them. You love them. We bind the spirit of Islam, but we bless the Muslims. We thank you for revealing yourself, the true Messiah. Lord, you're revealing yourself to them as the true Messiah in their dreams. It's happening already, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're not just a prophet, but you're the Messiah.
Yes, right.
Shakara baruko. Hallelujah.
Let the prophet Esau come to them, Lord, I pray. Hallelujah.
Amen. Whoa. I just thank you guys for having us. We really appreciate you guys. We're really blessed to be here, aren't we? Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for being here this weekend.